While the children are going, would you please take your Bibles and turn with me this morning to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, the very first book in your New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. And I want to read at the beginning here just a few verses from Matthew chapter 7. I want to get our minds and our eyes focused in a very specific direction this morning. And so listen, follow along as I read Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 9. This is Jesus speaking. "Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? If you then, who are evil," Jesus just reminding us that we're sinners, even as good fathers were sinners. "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Let's pray for ourselves now. Father, thank you for just this posture toward us of an eagerness to give, an eagerness to bless, an eagerness to provide. Thank you for this word that you're about to give us. God, we trust the goodness of your being, and so we know of the goodness of your words to us. And Lord, I pray that we would experience that this morning. Father, I don't want any one of us going home today unfed. We live by the words of God. And so, Father, teach us, feed us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning marks the second to last Sunday in this series of messages that we've been in that we have entitled Knowing God. In fact, it's the last message to focus on a particular characteristic of God. Next week, we're going to wrap up this whole series with a message on how we should live in relationship to this God that we are learning to know. But this morning, once again, we want to focus our thoughts for a while here on something about God, a way that He is, and a way that He has made Himself known to us. Over the past weeks, we've looked at several ways that God has made himself known, several ways that God wants us to know him. We have seen God unchanging. We've seen God over all. We've looked at the holiness of God. We've seen God as the judge of all the earth. We've seen the God of all grace. 2 weeks ago, we spent some time thinking about God as the God of truth, the God of wisdom, and last week we considered together the faithfulness of God. And as we closed last week, we sang. Remember what we sang last week? "Great is thy faithfulness." Do you remember the next line? "Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father." That's where we want to go today. That's where my thoughts have been this past week. That's where I want to focus our thoughts in the time that we have together now this morning on God, our Father. By the way, I had a funny moment with Bev this past week. She was preparing for a talk that she was going to give with Jenny Salvati for the women of Crossway Milwaukee. That happened yesterday, but on Friday, as she was preparing kind of the final bits of that talk, she'd finished up her written notes and she asked me to read it. She wanted to get some feedback. I guess she wanted to make sure that everything was okay. And while I'm reading that, she says this: "You know, I can't believe you prepare a message pretty much every week and you don't have anyone read it. You just get up there and say it whether we like it or not." I didn't quite know how to take that. Wasn't sure if that was the gift of encouragement being exercised there or not. But in any case, I want us to think together this morning about God as Father, about the fatherness of God, the fatherhood of God. And the question for this morning is the same question we've been asking all along: do you know God this way, as a father? Not just do you know that God is a father, but is that part of how you know Him? Is that how you relate to Him as a father? Is that your experience of God? Do you know God this way? You know, I said last week, I don't believe there is any attribute of God's character that He is more desirous that His people know about Him than His faithfulness. But in terms of His role, in terms of defining His relationship to us, the key term in the Bible is Father. That's how God describes His relationship to His people, as Father. That's how He wants His people to relate to Him, as Father. That's how Jesus teaches us to address Him, our Father. That's the way Jesus speaks regularly: the Father, my Father, your Father, our Father. It's not the only word that's used to describe the relationship, but I tell you, it emerges with such regularity and with such emphasis as a way that God describes Himself, as a way that He wants us to know Him. Listen, that word, Father, it shows up well over 1,000 times in the Bible. I mean, you can imagine with all of the genealogies, so-and-so was the father of so-and-so, who was the father of so-and-so. So the word appears a lot in the Bible, but well over 200 of those appearances, it's referring to God as Father. It's like that throughout the Bible. In fact, for example, there's only one book in the New Testament which does not refer to God as Father. It's the little book of 3 John. It's about 15 verses long. Other than that, it is just all over the place. You can't read your Bible for very long at all without encountering that reference to God as Father. God loves to speak this way of Himself. And the biblical writers love to speak of God in this way. And throughout the centuries, Christians, taking their cue from the Bible, have rightly loved to think of and to speak to God this way, our Father. So we really can't do a series on knowing God without talking about this, but let's just pause for a second. What exactly is that saying, that God is Father? What is it that God wants us to understand about Him and experience in relating to Him by telling us that He is a Father, our Father? You know, when we hear that word Father, our minds almost automatically go to our own fathers, don't they? I mean, it's a natural thing to come into our minds. And sadly, some have had fathers that were not good fathers. Maybe they were unkind. Maybe they were domineering. Maybe they were faithless in some way. Maybe they were just absent. I tell you, it makes me very sad whenever I hear of that, because that's not the way it's supposed to be. Quite frankly, it's just not possible to forget one's experience of one's father. I'm very grateful to be able to say, an excellent father. He's not perfect. There's no such thing in terms of human fathers anyway. He knows that. I know that. I try to remind my children of that. There's only one perfect father. But I have had, for my 54 years now, an excellent father. It has been one of the great joys of my life to be his son. He was faithful, wise, tender, humble, strong, a deeply, deeply committed man. And all of the things that a child should receive from a father, I received from my dad. Training, discipline, carried out with tenderness and care, but carried out. Guidance, provision for my needs, protection, encouragement, blessing. My father knew how to bless. In a word, my dad loved me. He loved me. To quote a line from an old Dan Fogelberg song, I often feel like my life has been a poor attempt to imitate the man. I thank God for him, along with my mother, pretty much every day. He has been and is an excellent father. But it is very important to remember God didn't get the idea of speaking of himself as father by observing human fathers, no matter how excellent they might be. It's not as if God thought, hey, look at that. I think I'll use that to communicate to people something about myself. That looks like it might be useful in helping them understand something I want them to understand about me. No, it's the other way around. Human fatherhood is derived from God's fatherhood. Human fathers, to the extent that they get it right, are a reflection of God's fatherhood. And you say, where'd you get that idea? Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, where the Apostle Paul says, I kneel before the Father from whom all fatherhood on earth is derived. Human fatherhood is anchored in, it's reflective of God's fatherhood, which, by the way, says something to us dads about the importance of knowing God. So, whether you had a good dad or a not-so-good dad, that's not where we look to understand what father means. Folks, don't get tripped up on that. Sometimes people can feel like I didn't have a very good example. Don't look there. Even if you had a good example, that's not the primary place you look. The primary place that we look to understand what this word means is to God and to what God has said. But where do we start? I mean, with all these hundreds of places that the Bible speaks of God as Father, how are we going to do this morning without getting overwhelmed? Well, I've done my best this past week to go through those places where the Bible speaks of God as Father. Not everyone, but almost everyone. And I wanted to pick up the feel, the flavor of God's Word on this. What it's emphasizing, what it is that it's communicating in this idea that God is Father. What does it mean, really, that God is our Father? And what you discover is that there's these themes that emerge, themes of training and discipline and guidance, themes of protection and provision and meeting our needs, themes of tender care and compassion, themes of blessing, but above it all, over all of those themes and unifying all of those themes, there is one thing. What is the main thing that the Bible is seeking to communicate to us, that God is seeking to communicate to us when He speaks of Himself as Father? Yes, in some places, His compassion as a father comes to the fore. In some places, His discipline as a father comes to the fore. In some places, His provision as a father comes to the fore. But what's the one thing? What's the overarching unifying thing? Here's my answer. Fatherhood speaks of God's personal commitment to the good of His children. Fatherhood speaks of God's personal commitment to the good of His children. As my father, He is committed, personally committed to my good, to my ultimate well-being. He owns, that's what he's saying when he calls himself Father, he owns his responsibility for the welfare of his children. I believe that is the fundamental, the foundational thing. And if I had to capture that in one word, it would be love. God loves his children as a father. He is absolutely committed to our good. See what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God, and such we are. That's the fundamental thing to God being our Father. It's His love. It's His personal commitment to the good of His children. I love the way that comes out in these verses in Matthew chapter 7. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? Even imperfect human fathers know how to give good gifts to their children. How much more will your Father who is in heaven, perfectly wise, perfectly good, perfectly sovereign God over all, God of all grace, God of wisdom, give good to those who come to Him? Here, Jesus is speaking, with emphasis, of God's fatherly heart, of His personal commitment to do good to His children. Now, folks, don't go Santa Claus there. Don't be thinking all of the things that I want that I can get from God. No, God is personally committed to doing you good, personally committed to your ultimate eternal well-being, not just for the dot of this life, but for the line of your eternity. So God is one who is acting in my life all the time for good if I belong to Him. And by the way, the Bible draws a very sharp distinction between those who belong to God and those who do not belong to God. If we belong to Him, if we've come to Him in right relationship through Jesus, remember what Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And John tells us all who believe on His name, on Jesus' name, He gave the right to become children of God. So if you belong to God, all that He does is for your good. And I know that because He's my Father. He is committed to that, personally committed. That's what He's communicating to us when He says, I'm your Father. I will guide you for your good. I will provide for you for your good. I will correct you, discipline you for your good. I will have compassion on you for your good. I am absolutely committed to this. All that a perfect Father does and is, I will be to you because I am your Father. And I want you to come to know me that way. Now, in the time that we have left, I want us to just go briefly to two places in the Bible that develop this particular theme very practically in a very relevant way. I want us to look at two kind of representative lines, areas of our lives. This does not exhaust the Bible's teaching on the fatherhood of God. Far from it. We'll be barely scratching the surface of this great truth, but let's at least scratch the surface and start to get the flavor of this difference that knowing God this way can make. So we'll look at two places, and then I'll just take a few minutes at the close to kind of just think, all right, then what should I do? So let's look first at Matthew chapter 6. You're pretty much already there if you held Matthew 7 open. Matthew 6, and I just want you to notice, first of all, the frequency with which that word Father shows up to speak of God. Look with me. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Verse 4. So that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Verse 8. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Verse 9, pray then like this, Our Father, look at verse 14, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Verse 18, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Are you starting to see a little bit of a trend here? In fact, more than just a trend, Are you recognizing, are you beginning to get a flavor of something that Jesus is trying to communicate to us about God? This is one of the great God as Father sections of the whole Bible. Look at verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Verse 32. For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. So there is this very clear emphasis, but I want you to notice a simple truth that Jesus is bringing out here. Look again at verse 31. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear, folks? That verse is relevant to every one of us every day. Do not be anxious about your needs being met, for the Gentiles seek, and that word seek is really strong. Jesus is saying the Gentiles, they go after this stuff. This is what occupies them. This is what they live for. They seek after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them, but you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now remember, He is personally committed to you for your good. So He knows your needs. Now look at verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? So not only does He know your needs, but He cares for you. He cares greatly for you. So, verse 6, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who knows your needs and who cares about you, and ask Him. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. That's speaking of God's gracious response to you coming to Him, the blessing of God. Jesus says, verse 7, when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. They think that they will be heard for their many words. No, don't be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this, Father. Folks, if prayer is just information transfer, there would be no point in praying. Because God knows. You're not telling Him anything new. But it's not just information transfer. It's relating to God as your Father. So, those who are His are strongly encouraged to come to God and relate to God as Father who is able to care for you and meet your needs for your good. And when you read this, folks, please don't think simplistically. Don't think, you know, God's just going to produce for me. And I can want that sometimes, and if I don't get that sometimes, I can complain, hey, God's not doing for me what He promised. Folks, let's not be quite so crass about that. God is not a vending machine. God is a Father who is personally committed to caring for your needs because He's personally committed to your good because He's your Father. Let's look at another place that speaks in very practical, relevant ways. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. I think this is my favorite God as Father passage in all the Bible. Hebrews chapter 12, and I want to read verses 5 through 11. Book of Hebrews chapter 12, starting at verse 5. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons, daughters? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by Him. For the Lord disciplines the one He loves and chastises every son whom He receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? And if you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but He disciplines us for our good, that we may share His holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Now, the first thing we need to do is to make sure we understand that word discipline. That is not talking about specific acts or moments of discipline. It's talking about a process that God is engaging in with us, a process of training us, of shaping us, of discipling us. And this passage is saying this is what is happening when Christians, God's children, experience suffering or hardship. Folks, get this deep in you somewhere. Hardship, suffering doesn't get wasted in God's family. Nothing gets wasted. Hardship, suffering doesn't get wasted with God's children. God uses that to disciple you, to train you. Above whatever is happening, whatever hardship you face, there is a larger loving purpose happening. That's what's behind those words quoted in verse 5. My son, don't regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. Don't miss what's really happening. Don't just reduce your hardship to kind of personal inconvenience. No, you need to know your loving Father is at work in this for your good. I tell you, when you see this, it will keep you from losing heart. You see, discipline is the mark not of a harsh and heartless father, but of a father who is deeply and personally committed to the well-being of his children. God is for us. He loves us. He's our Father. We're his children. He is treating us as beloved sons and daughters. And what a different response to our suffering we will have if we see the larger purpose, this working of God who is our loving Father. Please don't miss the words in verse 10. For our good. You should underline those words. Our Father, in the perfection of His love for us, can be relied upon to never allow any suffering in our lives that He will not take and own and put to use for our good. For our good. Those three words should just be emblazoned right in the front of your brain. They should be at the ready, not as some kind of religious cliche, no, but as a clear conviction because you know God as your Father. That promise right there, as Charles Spurgeon once said, that is a pillow of truth upon which the weary can rest their heads. Now, let's be real. Even if you believe that, it doesn't make the process unpainful. Look again at verse 11. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but, look again, the Bible's stressing God's good purposes, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Despite the pain and the perplexity that often accompanies hardship in our lives, it is for our good. Well, how should we respond to this very clear truth? God is our Father. He's loving us daily, supplying our needs. He's loving us, discipling us, even through hard things. There's so many other themes that we could. Well, how should we respond, though, to what we've seen in God's Word this morning? Well, so many things could be said. Let me just suggest four simple responses. Entrust, rest, receive, and enjoy. Entrust, rest, receive, and enjoy. First, entrust. Entrust yourself to your Father God. Come to Him. Come to Him in prayer. Come to Him in trust. Come to Him with your needs. Come to Him with your questions. There are few things that a father delights in more than when his children entrust themselves to him as their father. This past week, on two consecutive days, I think it was Wednesday and Thursday, I received two phone calls from the same child. One, Wednesday's phone call, had to do with a very challenging situation. The second, Thursday's phone call, had to do with a very exciting situation. Oh, how I delighted in both of those calls. My child coming to me, entrusting herself to her Father. God calls us to do the same. So folks, go to God. He is your Father. This past week in one of the membership interviews, I heard the story, one of the people that was standing up here just a moment ago, when she was just an 11-year-old girl, her mother died. You can imagine the emotional and the logistical upheaval of that. She talked about the house being packed up and all things being put in boxes, and in kind of the chaos of all of that, she found on the floor a little gold medallion with the Lord's Prayer on it, Our Father. She shared with me it was the most amazing thing. Can you imagine just an 11-year-old girl reading that in the midst of all of that? She said it was the most amazing thing I'd ever read. And then she said these words, "In a rather hopeless situation, I had a father who knew me and loved me, someone I could turn to." Folks, whether it's in discipline or for your needs, entrust yourself to God. You won't understand everything that's going on in your life. You don't need to. But if you know God as your Father, you will understand why you should entrust yourself to Him. Second, rest. He knows your needs. He knows you. He knows your frame. He remembers that you're dust. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who belong to him. He knows you, and he's able to care for you. So rest in his fatherhood. He will take care of you. If you're his, he's already met your greatest need. "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not along with him graciously give us all good things?" So rest. Third, receive. Position yourself to receive from your Father's hand. God is eager daily to give good gifts, to supply what we need, to bless. Position yourself to receive. Listen, if we go into the day forgetting who we are, thinking, you know, we're just kind of fine on our own, thinking we're big and strong, tell you, we will not be in a position to receive. It's very hard to give gifts to people who aren't paying attention or who don't think they need gifts. So position yourself every day. Humble yourself before God. Recognize your need. Position yourself before your Father who is eager to give. And then fourth, finally, enjoy. Entrust, rest, receive, enjoy. Delight in the fact that you have a Father. As He delights in you as His children, so delight in Him. I am so taken by what the father in the parable of the prodigal son says to the older son late in that parable. In fact, that parable is really about God. It should be called the parable of the Father, the parable of the waiting, loving Father. I'm so taken by what he says to the older son. After the younger son has come home, the prodigal's come home, and the father lavishes him with love. The older son's not quite sure what to make of all of this, and he's outside pouting. God, the Father, goes out to him, and he says, you know what the first word is that he says? Son. Same thing he said to the younger. My child, my son. And then he says this, "You are always with me, and all that is mine is yours." You are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. That is a father calling his son to enter into and to delight in and enjoy relationship with him. God means there to be a relationship with him for his children. He wants us to know him, and he particularly wants us to know him as Father. Folks, what is the chief end of man? According to the Westminster Confession, it is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. To enjoy Him as your Father And as you get to know him as Father, you will. Let's pray. Father, thank you for even your love in speaking to us like this. We can imagine the possibility of you being our Father without you communicating it so clearly. So thank you for your love that communicates to us that you are our Father, calling us into this relationship with you. And so, God, I pray that we would, as your people, as your children, that we would know you in this way and that we would delight in you, that we would entrust ourselves to you, we would rest in you, and we would receive from you what you are so eager to give us as our Father, and we would enjoy relationship with you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.